listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the show today. This has got a cool background picture that I think was supposed to be a picture of me, and it kind of looks like that. The hair's about the right color, and there's that bald spot on top. And I'm looking down the road there to the right, and it's talking about creating value. And, you know, one of the things I teach in the business coaching, I'm a business coach, as well as a podcaster, broadcaster kind of person, and I teach about creating value and about how to define value, how to explain what you do. And I was on a call yesterday with about 50 or 60 people, and someone else was running the call. But at the end, it was time for chattering, you know, observations and learnings that people had. And I made a couple of comments. And then there was another fellow that made some comments, and he was talking about something that for me is front and center and really important, and it might be for you too. If you have a job where you go to work and get paid for a certain job, that's one kind of way to make a living. The people I associate with and work mostly with are people that have their own business. I have some coaching clients that are, you know, corporate people, leadership coaching, and that kind of thing. But most of the time, I work with people that own businesses or are in really strong leadership positions. And as entrepreneurs, you have to, or business owners, you have to be really clear about what the value is. Now, if you sell widgets like Home Depot, screws and hammers and nuts and bolts and flooring and paint and, you know, all kinds of things, you don't have to do that. You have to put ads in papers if you've got a sale or if you've got a particular reason for people to come to the store or if you've got some seasonal things. But if you are in business where you are a small business and you have products or services that are somehow different in the market, boy, you have to figure out how to explain that. You have to figure out, and that's what this fellow was talking about. And he was talking specifically to coaches, consultants, healers, you know, people that have learned one or two or 10 modalities for healing. I know healers of all kinds of modalities. I know an opera singer, and she sings with her voice and does frequencies and things that, you know, align your system. And she's really good. I know a guy that does that too, and he has a new AI-driven resonance OS. And he sent me a link to belong to it, and I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to. And he does the same thing. He uses his voice. And I don't know if you've seen him, but on Facebook, there's all these ads recently. Maybe it's because of the kind of things I look at, but there's this gizmo that produces sound at a particular frequency that creates alignment and health in the body. And there's a whole list of frequencies that serve you and that heal you and all that kind of thing. So the idea of being healed with certain sounds is not weird. It's real and it's true. And as a musician, I know that, you know, consonant sounds sound really good together. Dissonant sounds are really strident to the ear. All kinds of things like that. So the point of my saying that is, if you have a business, do you know exactly, precisely what makes your product or service different than someone else who sells the same product or service? And that's what my friend was talking about yesterday. It is getting harder and harder to differentiate because so many people say, I'm going to help you overcome your barriers and blocks. There was someone on the same call that said, I'm the best in the world at helping people get unstuck. Well, that might be true. You might be the best in the world, but there's 9 billion, not 9 billion, there's not even that many people in the world. I'm exaggerating. There's 90,000 or a half a million people that say, I'm going to help you get out of your own way, get unstuck, you know, that kind of thing. And I'll bet they do. But if someone is looking for a certain product or service, they have to know or have to be able to hear from your marketing or your language why yours is different or better. I'll give you a real world example. My wife, Joy, the angel, you guys know I'm married to an angel, she is an expert in antiques, particularly glassware, china, you know, that kind of stuff. And when we lived in Phoenix some years ago, we used to go to a couple of auction sales a week because Phoenix, like Florida, is one of those places people go to retire, essentially go to croak. And so there's all kinds of estate sales and, you know, kids that don't want this, that, and the other. And then there's boxes and boxes of some house that get taken to an auction house and sold. And she was such an expert that she could sit across the room. And you could go the afternoon before usually and look the lots over. But even if she didn't, she was expert enough to be able to look across the room and see some glassware, china, you know, that kind of thing, and say, oh, that's Royal Doulton, that's this, that's that. And I remember one time sitting there, and she was hoping that the auctioneer couldn't pronounce the word, the name of this particular glassware. It was a Russian, particularly an old, not recent, but an old Russian brand that's very, very, very valuable and very rare. And she knew it, just looking at it across the room, what it was. And sure enough, they didn't know how to sell it, so he didn't hype it up very well, and she got it for a really good price. So that is a skill that she has developed. Now, you have skills. I don't know what your skills are. Why don't you list three or four of them right now? What are your skills? Do you know how to speak in public? Are you really persuasive? Are you great at music? Are you a good musician? Are you a doctor? Are you an attorney? Are you skilled at law? Are you an artist? Are you skilled with brush or online with stylus on an iPad? Like, what are the skills? Maybe you're an accountant. Maybe you're really good with numbers. Maybe you're really good listening. You have a set of skills. And those skills are usually what we sell in the marketplace, right? We get good at some skill. I used to teach marketing, business marketing, because I'm a business coach. And so I used to teach people how to get their product seen, how to get it to the top of Google search, how to get your ads noticed, how to create compelling stop the scroll headlines, because I learned to be good with words. And I used to help that, you know, with that kind of marketing. And that was a skill that I developed. Another skill that I used to sell, is how to show up on camera, how to look into people's eyes and look into their hearts and, you know, be compelling and connect with them. And that goes not only with video stuff, but with public speaking and selling from stage and that sort of thing. So you have a set of skills, and I've given you some examples of mine, but mine don't really matter to you. So what are yours? What are your skills that you have that you do really well? Those skills, maybe you went to school, maybe you went to trade school, maybe you have natural gifts in some areas, and so you have skill that you didn't work really hard to develop, but you have it anyway. And maybe you have that, and then you've worked really hard on top of that to develop it, and so you're literally world class at some thing or other or many things. Now and those are valuable. So that's how I wanted to start. Those are really valuable. Now, I want to tell you something that's more valuable than your most valuable skill. And I'm pausing here because I want you to think about that. There is something that's more valuable than your most awesome skill. And that thing is your personal story, the story of your own becoming. How did you get that skill? What gifts do you have that you have developed? And more importantly, why? Something I love to do when I interview people on this show or for the podcast is ask him that question. I had a fellow that I talked to the other day, and he hasn't been on one of the shows yet, but he's coming, and you'll love him. He's a Harvard MBA. He is currently a CEO of a company and has had 20 years in corporate, you know, very pedigreed, bunch of exciting work and so forth, and has developed skills, leadership skills and turnaround skills and M&A, merger and acquisition, M&A skills and stuff like that. So he's got a lot of skills, but you know what's more powerful than that? The experience he had, the story of his life, he shared that with me because he told me what he was trying to do. His current effort as the CEO is to bring love into leadership, to completely change the way leadership is thought about and executed. Then he told me a story about how it's affected, tripled the effectiveness and profit of the company he's leading now. But the reason that it has is because of his story, not because of his pedigree, his education, or his skill. And he knew that and said so. So that's just a simple example of that truth. And I use, you know, CEO, Harvard, da-da-da, because the skill level is pedigreed, extraordinary. Wow, really? All that? Yeah, all that. And the story is still 1,000 times more valuable. And let's talk about why. We remember stories. We learn from stories. Stories have been the way that we have transmitted our beliefs, our passions. Everything about us as humans has been transmitted through story forever. Written story, oral story, etc. Your skills are more important. Now think about this. Skills can be learned. Skills can be outsourced. Skills are useful, but they're not unique. Okay? They can be replaced. They can be automated. And now as we start thinking about what AI is doing to the workplace, that is more and more I'm not even going to call it a threat, but it's a gigantic change in what's happening in our world right now. Right? I just wrote a book, Coaching and the Rise of AI, that explores what's happening right now, this year, by Christmas, this coming Christmas. 95% of coaches will not be able to make a living any longer with all the skills and modalities and things they've learned, unless they make some fundamental changes and go into the areas that this technology cannot touch. That's story. That is truth. That is feeling. That is the truth of energetic connection and all that woo-woo stuff we talk about. All the rest of the skills can be automated. Now, there's some areas, of course, that's not true. It's going to be a while before we have a robot plumber or gas fitter or some of the trades. You know, that will probably eventually come, but it's going to be a while longer. And so that is a very, very lucrative area right now. You know that already. Here's another way that skills are so replaceable. Skills are things we know how to do. When you mine your life for the lessons you have learned, the deep, you know, the truths you've learned, the hard way, the school of hard knocks, you know, that kind of thing. When you do that, then you speak and teach from lived authority. Skills are information based, right? So you learn how to do something and then you do it and you get better at it. And so then you have mastered, that information and you've taken your skill to a high level. Authority comes from lived consequence. Now, I'm going to give you an example. And I know you know this. You have heard someone tell you a thing, teach you a thing. And you've heard the teaching, and you don't have any particular reason to doubt the teacher, but somehow it just doesn't feel right. Then someone else with a different energy teaches you the very same thing, and it lands like a sledgehammer. 100% guarantee the sledgehammer is someone who's walked the road, who's lived through the experience. They're not talking about a thing they learned about. They're communicating power and truth they've experienced. Now, why am I talking about this today? Well, right here, Dream Build Write It. DreamBuildWriteIt.com. That's a place where I'm going to help you take your experiences, your story, and turn it into cash. I'm also going to help you turn it into meaning, real meaning and impact. So if you knew right now, as you sit here, that this creating value was real and that your life story could create wealth, impact, meaning change your neighborhood and change the world, if you knew that you could do that and meaning for your life, would you be interested in digging into your life story with me and doing that? I've never met or had a conversation with someone where it wasn't very clear after 20 or 30 minutes that they had value in the story, that there was a hungry market who needed it, and that they could both serve, create wealth, and impact. Doing what you know better than anything else, which is your lived experience. So I'm going to invite you here to dreambuildwriteit.com. It's a book challenge in February, 23rd through the 27th of February. And I'm not inviting you because you have to pay. The challenge is actually free, except it's not really, because you have to commit to spending an hour a day for 5 days. Why would I ask you for that? Because I'm going to show you how to mine your life. I'm going to show you how to organize it into a book and a program and a workshop and a keynote. I'm going to show you how to do that. And I'm going to show you how to write a book and get it published and then create follow-on things that satisfy that yearning that we have for meaning. The most impactful ways that we can create meaning are from our stories. All right, so here's a saying. I'm just going to say this, and I want you to think about it. People trust those who have walked the road, not those who have memorized the map. Now, I love that little saying. People trust somebody that's walked the road way more than they trust somebody who's memorized the map. Why would that be? Well, a map doesn't tell you very much. You know, it tells you the names of streets and left or right and stuff like that, but it doesn't tell you anything about terrain, about hazards, about a creek that might be in the way, or this or that or the other. It doesn't tell you any of that, right? Someone who's walked the road, they know, right? It's going to get rough up here. There's this or there's that. So the story of your life, why it's more valuable than skills, which is where we started, is the story of your life is your walk. It's what you have walked, the road you've walked. That is the most powerful gift you have to offer. I'm interested in your story. Now, back to what I said a little bit ago, this is an invitation because I want to share your story. My favorite thing in the world is to get to know you, to love you, to hear your story, and to help you create wealth, impact, and meaning out of your story. Maybe it's write a book. Maybe it's just to be interviewed on one of the shows. But one of the things that just makes me jump up and down and get all excited is the opportunity to get to know you, to love you, and to hear the stories, the challenges, the champions, the opportunities, the successes, the failures that you've had, because you've had some. And if you're like 99.9% of people, you haven't done anything with that yet. You have this gold mine that you're sitting on, and you're going to take it to your grave. The world needs you today. And I'm serious, more now than ever. And you know what's also fun about that? It's easier now than ever before to get it written, to get it published, to get it spread, to create wealth, impact, and meaning. Easier. I'm doing it. I'm helping lots of people do it. And it's getting easier as the years go by. All right, so let's talk about AI for a minute, because one of the things that gets talked about in the written world when you're writing a book or a course or a program, just put a prompt in, write a book, and AI is going to spit it out for you. No, it's not. It will write something. Give me 25,000 words on this. Give me 15 chapters, and It'll do it. It'll follow direction. It will be repetitive. It will be boring. It will be stupid. It will be without authority. And it won't do anything in terms of creating wealth, impact, or meaning in your life. That doesn't mean that it isn't powerful and shouldn't be used. So let's talk a little bit about how to use it. I use it a lot. Here's one of the ways that I use it. So I have an idea for a chapter. I'm in the middle of writing my book number 23. I finished AI, Coaching the Rise of AI, a few months ago. There's a book right now in publication called Masterpiece, Seize the Day, Live Your Purpose, and Change the World. And that'll be out in a couple of months, probably next month, February. And there's a third one I'm writing that'll be out toward the summertime. And when I write a book, I have a story arc. I think about who my writing is for and what are their needs or wants or fears or worries or desires today. And if I give them everything they want, what is the payoff for reading the book? Like they will have taken an hour or two or 10 or whatever to read the book. What is the payoff? What do they get? What do they take home in their shopping bag, right? And in thinking about that, I craft a journey for them, right? From this place of uncertainty, not knowing, maybe a little bit of fear, maybe a bit of failure, depending on the topic of the book, to a place of success. I think of it as a rainbow and there's a pot of gold at the end, you know, that kind of thing. So after I craft a journey in my mind, I'll use AI and I'll put that journey in there. I'll put the story arc with the chapter titles and things in there and say, what do you think? What did I leave out? What did I miss? And then we'll go back and forth with ideas. That's a way that I use it. Then I'll take the chapter list, story arc, and I'll put some bullet points. I'll put three or four bullet points with each chapter about what I think I want to cover. And then we'll test it again. Then I don't ever have AI just write stuff. What I do sometimes, and I do it different ways, but one of the ways that I do it is I will dictate everything I think goes in the chapter, and then I'll ask AI to organize it and edit it for me as a first pass. And then we'll go back and forth, etc. So there's lots of ways to use this tool because AI is really good at synthesizing knowledge. It has access to internet. And like we all know, it's on the internet, must be true, right? No, we had a conversation last night, and the question got thrown out, how much of what's on the internet do you think is true? And some people were pretty generous and said 50-50. Some people were more skeptical and said 60-40. One person said 90-10. 90 false, 10% you can trust it. So when you're using one of the AI sources that reference the internet, there's lots of stuff that's going to have access and probably, you know, crawl like spiders, read it and come back with garbage or shady stuff, questionable stuff, stuff that claims that are not true. So if you're going to use that tool, and I absolutely recommend you use it, be willing to be critical, be willing to revamp, be willing to challenge things if it doesn't feel or seem right. Ask it the same questions again. Ask it differently. What about this? I've heard this. You said this, and I want to challenge you on this. Like, go after it. It will refine your thinking. I've noticed this. I'll do some writing in a book, and then I'll say, give me another take on this, and it will write it from an angle that I hadn't thought about, or including an angle I hadn't thought about. That doesn't mean I have to use it. But it is using perhaps expressions or thoughts or an approach that I hadn't considered. And so I find that it broadens my thinking and helps me write better. And to me, that's no different than reading another book. So my first five books were books on meditation. I wrote a series on meditation, and they're on Amazon. It's The Power of Meditation. And in order to write that, this was years ago now, I'm not quite 20 years ago, 2009, I think. So what are we, 17 years ago now, I guess. And in order to to write that. And I'd been a practitioner of meditation all my life since I was in my teens. And so 50 years. And I read a whole bunch of books anyway. I did read books by a pile of authors that taught meditation, that studied it, about medical things, about the benefits, about what it does to the brain, some research papers. I read a lot of stuff about it to add to what I had. And each one of those books that I read gave me a different perspective, gave me some interesting knowledge and understanding that I either didn't have or a fresh take on something I did have. I find that using any one of the AI models is really useful for that. So I absolutely use it. And don't let it replace you. Don't let it steal your voice. Don't let it, just don't use the words because, wow, that sounds better. I could never do that. And don't. Like, if I'm reading your book, I want to hear you. I want to hear your lived experience. I want to hear the words you use to describe the pain, the promise, the power, the possibility of what you've been through. So use it all the time as a creative tool. Because the future with this tool in writing and creating programs, everything I'm saying about writing here, writing a book goes for creating programs, creating products, all that kind of stuff. Anything to do with information, skill development, and so forth. AI is a great tool, but it cannot transmit lived wisdom. It can transmit information. So the future is going to belong, whether it's in consulting or coaching or advice of any kind, it's going to belong to those who can transmit lived wisdom, not just information. Now, nothing has made it more clear to me than working on the book that I'm writing right now. The book that I'm in the middle of is called The Sovereign Architect. And, you know, my mission this year is to help you and 300 million people to embrace a truth. WIPOS, worth, identity, possibility, ownership, and sovereignty. Now, I've talked about that in other episodes, so I'm not going to go over that again. But it is to understand your worth, your identity, your possibility, your ownership, and sovereignty. And a lot of that has to do with not hard data, how we feel, what we've experienced, how we interpret experiences, the kind of growing up experience you had, the kind of mentoring you either did or didn't have in your life. It also depends a lot on what you've chosen to do with difficult experiences. Maybe you were abused or abandoned or hurt or an orphan. You know, I interviewed a lady the other day she was raised in an orphanage and she has made a masterpiece out of her life. You know, counselor and all kinds of high-level achievements started out in an orphanage. So she chose to make that out of herself. That kind of lived experience can't be duplicated by AI and cannot be transmitted, even if it tells the story. So the humanness is going to be the central characteristic that AI cannot match. And I want to say that again. By the humanness, I don't just mean, like I've talked to coaches who say, yeah, I've got the human touch and they're going to want human experience and so I'm not worried. You're out of business. AI can write better, talk better, think better, and think faster than you, me, or any of them. The truth of the human experience only comes when you or I are living as the embodied truth of what we teach. I'll give you an example. I know someone who teaches about relationships. And they've had some divorces. And so you could think, wow, what a loser. How could you teach me anything about relationships? You failed a couple of times. Well, the truth is, they failed a couple of times. They did a lot of intense and intentional work, and have now learned and changed who they are. So that walking of lived experience on that road has turned them into a powerhouse, not just of knowledge, but of wisdom and lived experience, and now they are in the midst of a glorious, mutually supportive, fulfilling relationship. The reason they got there wasn't information. It was the transformation that took place in their heart and soul from the lived experience and the failures. And you know this, most of the time, our failures teach us way more than our successes, right? Failures hit harder, last longer, and teach much more deeply than success. So I want to talk for a minute about why story matters so much. Because again, dream, build, write it. This thing that I'm talking about is a place where to help you discover your story and turn it into whole, cold, hard cash, turn it into impact. My goal is to help 300 million people. That's not a small audience. I don't know what your goal is, but it should be in the millions. And you have the story and the ability to do it. I don't know if you want to do that or if you're willing to walk the road, but you could. And that is wildly fulfilling, I know, because I've been on this road for 6 years. This particular road, I've been working on my coaching business for 15 or more. But your story matters, and it matters a lot to the right people. Now, it's not going to be for everybody, but it doesn't need to be. Because if we all do that, we're going to be able to help everybody collectively. So let's talk about why story is so effective. Because I'm talking about that, your story, my story. Well, story creates resonance. Okay? You've heard public speakers. Maybe they were lecturers at school. Maybe you're one of your high school or college teachers. Maybe seminars you've been to. People get up and they talk. And usually in the first 5 minutes, maybe the first 1 minute, you know right away if you're going to be trying to stay awake, if you're going to find a way to go to the bathroom, or if you're going to sit and listen. On the other hand, you know and had the experience of starting with someone, and within 30 seconds, minute, minute and a half, you are engaged. You are with them. They have your full attention, and you are riveted listening. I can guarantee you when that happens, they're telling a story. They're using the framework of a story. Story resonates with us, and when I say the word resonate, it's like vibrating at the same frequency, and so there's a connection, a resonance. I own a recording studio, and here's a fun fact. When you set up a recording studio, you have to take some acoustic measurements. And depending on two things, the distance between parallel walls and the distance between floor and ceiling, you get something called standing waves. And acoustic waves, especially bass, lower frequencies, they're actually really long. They're not, not little tiny waves like this. They're big. They're a foot long or sometimes a meter long. They're big sound waves. Now, in a room, certain frequencies, each frequency has a certain length, it will resonate back and forth between the walls, and it will amplify. It will add volume, even though the signal didn't have that volume, because it resonates with exactly that distance between floor and ceiling or wall to wall. So when you set up a studio, you have to measure the distance between the walls. You have to find out if you have standing waves. You have to put insulation and things on the walls or slope the ceiling or do something so it's not parallel. Because otherwise, you get a deceptive sound. It sounds one way in the studio, and when you take it in the car or on a speakers in the living room or in someone else's room, it doesn't sound the same. Because that you were deceived by not understanding the characteristics. So you have to pay attention. You have to find out what the resonant frequencies are of the room. Now, my point in telling that story was the resonance doubles the volume at certain areas, particularly in the bass. But that's what resonance is. If someone tells a story that has an element or elements that are similar to your life, it resonates with you. You feel connected. You feel attached. You know that in movies. You go there, you go to a movie, and you see, or you read a book, and you see a character, or you get involved with a character, and something about the way they talk, or their behavior, or their experiences, or their failures, or their successes feels close to home, hits you hard. Why? Because you have a parallel experience. You have something that's like that. And so it makes you feel connected. So stories do that to us. Here's how they use that in movies, right? In a movie, unless it's a silly comedy, the actors or actresses, they're totally in the scene. They're talking to the other people or the other person in the scene. They're not looking in the camera talking to us, are they? That never happens. Unless, you know, you're trying to be silly or comedy or something, and that's called breaking the fourth wall. So they don't do that. But even though they're only in that scene talking to each other and participating in that thing, that doesn't prevent you and me in the audience from resonating, connecting, feeling an affinity for one of the characters, one of the situations, getting mad or getting sad and weeping, getting connected. I remember a movie that was a horror movie, Firestarter, the first one that had George C. Scott in it as one of the bad guys. His portrayal, and he wasn't talking to me, right? His portrayal of that character, who was an assassin, a bad guy, right, was so convincing and so evil. I stood up and shouted at the television. I wasn't in a theater. I was at home. It moved me. It resonated in a negative way so powerfully, got him yelled at the movie. And number one, it's a movie, and two, they can't hear me, right? So here I'm screaming at the movie about how awful he was. That's resonance. Stories have the power to do that. And here I want to affirm one more time for you. Your story has the power to do that. Your story has the power to change my life. The invitation and the challenge is, are you willing to do something with it? Are you willing to explore and mine the gold, refine it, right? I saw something on television the other day. I think it was the beginning of a James Bond movie, Diamonds Are Forever. And it was the old one, the Sean Connery, and there was a scene where they were showing, you know, giant diamonds of the world. And they said the raw diamond was 116 carats and cut, it was 72 carats. It was a lot smaller, but it was the polishing, the cut, that made it super valuable. So our stories are the same way. Things happen to you and to me. And that right there is the rough story. Done. That's the rough diamond. Thinking about and intentionally figuring out how to tell the story is the polish. How to use it so that it connects deeply, so that we don't tell a lot of things that don't matter. Storytelling is a skill, and it's a written skill, and it's a verbal skill. It's a performance skill. All of those things are learnable. So what we've been talking about today is the value of your story. I started with your story matters more than your skills. Your story will connect more deeply. Your story will create more value for someone. You'll get paid more for your story than your skills. All those things are why it matters more. Now, I want to talk about another thing, and that's about why it's so valuable. Why it's so valuable. One of the biggest things I notice as a coach all the time is that people who are struggling with a problem, you know, a fear or they're not good enough, or they couldn't do this, and they missed that opportunity, or they screwed that up, or whatever barrier is keeping them from taking action. Almost without exception, one of the big fears is they think they're the only one dealing with this problem, the only one that has this particular relationship problem, or this particular health challenge, or this particular weight problem, or this particular inability to make money or keep money that you make, or make good financial decisions, and the list goes on and on. They have this sense of loneliness. Have you ever felt that? Nobody will understand me. Nobody knows like the old song, nobody knows the trouble I've seen but Jesus. Well, we feel like that. We feel alone and we feel isolated, like nobody knows, nobody could possibly understand. Sharing your story, one of the most important things that it accomplishes is it lets people know they're not alone. You mean you struggled with that too? I can't tell you how many times I've heard that from coaching clients. You mean you were afraid of that too? You mean you were worried about it? You mean that was hard for you? Incredulously, right? And I'm like, duh. It was very hard. One of the best things we do when we share the stories that we have about our own life, the story of our becoming. I use that phrase to mean the whole story of how we've had challenges, got knocked on our ass, decided to get up, chose to be refined instead of ruined. That story, the developmental arc of your life, that's your powerhouse. That's your secret weapon. That is the thing that will make you the most money, make you the most followers, if you care about that, but wealth, impact, and meaning. Meaning, you did something valuable. You made a difference with your life. How many times have you heard, maybe you've said this, you know, I just want to make a difference. And we say that word in a special way because we're trying to emphasize it. And what we mean is we want to do something that really matters, a difference. Well, you already have the tools. You don't have to go searching in your backyard, and it certainly isn't going to come in an Amazon box. So people listen to story because it creates resonance. Resonance builds trust. When you and I have had the same kind of experience, I trust you. Because the way you talk lets me know this is truth. We are sharing truth here. I have told this story about flying home on an airplane, a 3-hour flight, and I was thinking about trust, rapport, connection. I was sitting next to somebody I didn't know, and it was clear after a minute that they didn't want to sleep, but they weren't really interested in conversation. But I wanted to anyway, and I decided to give it a shot. So I said, hey, are you going home to Edmonton here? Are you going home or are you going out for work? And I'm going home. Okay, well, what do you do? I'm in real estate. Handed me a business card. And it felt like, you know, eh. And then this person said something really offhand. They said, yeah, you know, and I have a recording studio. That common connection filled up the rest of the flight. You have a recording studio. Where is it? Oh, there. Yeah, I've run a recording studio too. And so immediately, because we had a shared experience. So that resonance, when you share your story and someone hears something in their own life that parallels that, that resonance creates trust. You now have a shared experience. That is one of the fastest and most powerful ways to create rapport, connection. If you're trying to market or sell, connection matters. Rapport matters. Understanding matters. Shared experience matters. Okay? Trust opens people up to listen. It opens people up to transformation. It opens people up to consider another possibility. Before you trust somebody, we're all sort of jaded. We're blocking that. Your value is not what you know. Your value is what you have integrated into your life. The experiences that you have allowed to shape you. The experiences that maybe ruined you. Okay, I have a client right now who has struggled many years because this particular person had some experience with incest. That left a mark, a scar. As long as it's a thing out there that we haven't resolved or integrated, it remains a stabbing wound. And as a stabbing wound, we're not able to help people if we're still in the midst of our own pain. The minute you or I choose to get whatever help is needed, a counselor, a coach, a shrink, whatever, and then we take the steps to become healed, then we become powerful also. And what I notice 100% of the time, literally 100, is when a person heals, when they get the help and understanding and so forth that they need, and they heal themselves from some difficulty, trauma or wound or whatever, there arises in us a love and a desire to help others. I could help others that I know that are suffering with the same pain. I'll bet you $100 you've said that. So your value is not what you know, it's what you have integrated in your life. Your life has already paid a heavy price. It's paid the tuition for your wisdom. Why wouldn't you use it? Go right now to dreambuildwriteit.com and let's at least talk about the story of your life, the story that you have that's more precious than gold, that's more valuable than skills. Now, I have a couple of invitations for you. Skills help us function. Stories make us matter. Okay? Now, next time, what I'm going to talk about is a common question I get, which is, who am I to tell this? We'll talk about that next time. But right now, I want to issue you three invitations. Number one is, let me help you tell your story. Your story is worth gold. Gold. You can turn your story into cash right here, right now. It's not going to happen automatically, but you can do it. Go to dreambuildwriteit.com and sign up. Let's talk and let's see. The second invitation I have is, if you have a story, a life story, a set of experiences where you've learned a lot and you're busy with this yearning to serve, I would love to feature you on one of my shows, either the podcast or here on this show. Why would I do that? Because my reaching 300 million people isn't with my story or stories, and I have many. It's with yours. One of the things I love most is to be the megaphone, to be the tool to help you get your story and create your wealth, impact, and meaning. Because my work is not only to do mine, but to amplify yours. So if you've got a story that you'd like to share, get a hold of me. This KellenFlukigerMedia.com's got a contact form. So go there and reach out. And thank you to those that do and that have. Love to hear your story. Now, that's two invitations. Dream, Build, Write It, and if you want to tell your story. The third invitation is this. I have a sacred mission. My mission is to reach 300 million people, to help you move from a soul-sucking swamp of learned helplessness, addiction to mediocrity, and victim mindset. I can't, look what life dealt me, all that kind of crap, to this beautiful place. I call it the magic and marvelous mountain meadow of fierce life ownership, radical excellence with a passion to serve. 300 million people. Now, I can't do that by myself. I can stand on every mountaintop I can get to, and I can't get to enough mountaintops by myself. So I'm inviting you to share this message. I'm inviting you to lift and bless someone else's life. Show your love and kindness by encouraging them. If you know of people who have stories, I'd like to meet them. If you want to share your story, I'd like to meet you. So I'm enrolling you and enlisting you. Let's change the world. We can, you know. It's in our power to make those good things happen. Every negative thing that there is that you've seen, that's been done to you or happened around you or that you've witnessed, can be repaired, can be built, can be mitigated. And together we can love big enough to make the changes that are necessary. We can. My mission to help 300 million people includes all of you, every one of you right here, right now. So I invite you to participate. If you do, I can guarantee you something. You will have love in your heart. You will feel better than you've ever felt. That need and feeling for meaning and value, you'll have it. And most of all, you will be able to create and live every day your ultimate life.
listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.